Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thank you for kicking it off with us here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 8:04 on the clock. I have your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by Melissa. Good morning, Mel.
Good morning. Good morning.
And we have Beth with us.
Good morning.
And right now we are joined by our good friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. We got Paul Trombley joining us. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. Actually, Michael Caro here filling in for Paul today through Thursday.
All right. Michael, I haven't heard you in forever.
Good morning.
How have you been, Michael?
Yeah, it's been a long time. How are you doing?
Doing good, man. Great to hear you. What has Mother Nature got in store for us today?
Well, still very mild temperatures at least for today, but that will be changing as soon as tomorrow. We're back to some 50s for highs, not only for your Tuesday, but for much of the remainder of the work week as well. But yeah, for today, still managing some lower 70s for high temperatures by this afternoon, but a strong cold frontal boundary working in from the west will bring some scattered showers and even some thunder showers, especially closer to the midday and afternoon time frame for today. Some breezy south winds kicking up to 10 to 20 miles per hour. Widespread rain continues across the region for tonight, with overnight lows dropping back into the upper 40s, and into your Tuesday still a chance for some scattered light rain activity there with highs up to around 54 degrees. We finally dry things out into your Wednesday, gradually clearing skies there midweek Wednesday with highs reaching 53. Thursday and into your Friday looking dry, Thursday a high of 54 and still pretty close to average for this time of year, even into your Friday with mid-50s for highs. Your upcoming weekend looking dry as well, Saturday back to a good deal of sunshine, a high of 56, and even into your Sunday still expecting mid-50s. For the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Michael Caro.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate that. Looking forward to hanging out there this week. It'll be a lot of fun. Michael, before I let you go, though, I have to ask real quickly. Sure. Do you remember your first word?
My first word?
Yeah.
Boy, no, I don't specifically know.
Okay, just had to ask because that's our opening topic for the hour here. I thought I'd ask what yours was, and I was waiting for it to be
Michael.
Like...
Rain.
You know, partially cloudy. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Appreciate you,
Mike. I did start doing the weather on the announcements in elementary school.
So there you go.
There we go. That is awesome to hear. We got to talk more sometime, Michael. You take care and have a great day.
Sure. Have a good one.
A big shout out to our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Best in the business.
Yes.
So good at putting up with me. So good at it. Do you guys give them tips? Because you guys, they're really good at it. Looking at your local temperature, 64 in Stevens Point, 62 in Marshfield, 63 in Wausau, and as you might have heard, 62 here in Wisconsin Rapids. It is time to get you ready for Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club coming up in a little bit. I want to get into this Reddit article about the 75 things annoying people say. All that coming up for us. But right now, let's talk a little first words, as we asked Michael there and everything. Mm-hmm. There's some new research out that says that eating or smelling food you ate when you were a kid can unlock memories from when you were younger.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You got some people talking about their earliest memory. It got people talking about their earliest memories.
Okay.
Before we dive into that, that is so darn true.
Oh, absolutely.
There's a handful of things I can think of in life that have done that to me.
Yeah, a certain smell. Like growing up, I was in a show that was in an outdoor drama. Mm. And if the certain wind with the rain, it just brings back that. And you can see yourself exactly where you were when you knew that smell.
Mm-hmm. It's not as if I had never smelled a fresh-cut lawn before when I lived in Illinois, but in the city, you don't experience it as much. Now, whenever every spring, when I first smell that first like cut grass or something like that, I immediately think of my first, being in Rome in my first years here in Wisconsin and everything. There's a lot of, I have a lot more of it with smell than I think I do with like eating or anything, but yeah, definitely.
Yeah, there are certain scents that can really take you back to that time and place when that memory solidified for you of
yes.
that smell.
In a new poll, people were asked how old they were in their earliest memory, and 20% of people said that they were 3, 17% said 4, 15% said 5, and 11% said that they think they can remember stuff from when they were 2.
Wow.
Those were the normal responses. 3% of people claim that they can remember stuff from when they were 1, and another 2% said that they think they can recall stuff from under the age of 1. Overall, 8% of people say that they remember taking their first steps, and 7% say that they remember their first word.
It's amazing.
Now, there is no way to prove this necessarily.
Right.
Outside of, you know, I guess catching them in a lie or what right. have you. But I mean, yeah. That part, with that being said, I think that, again, most of us have met people that have early memory mm-hmm. kind of thing. I've got memories from the age of four. I've got a handful of mm-hmm. them. I only know that I was that age because my parents, how could you remember that? You were four when that happened or whatever. How did you know that? Like, things have happened so much right. in my life. And it's kind of funny to me, considering the last time I was talking about my brain and in my memory, in like not even a half an hour ago, I was talking about how I can't remember a darn thing, and, you know, and all this. But it's the way our brains work, and I'm not yep. alone in that. I imagine there's a bunch of other people nodding their head right now. Yep, I don't know what I had for breakfast yesterday, but I can tell you, you know, this memory that happened to me when I was five or something like that. Our brains are weird.
Yeah. Well, it's long-term versus short-term memory. Mm-hmm. And how much of our memory is more internalizing the stories that we've been told.
Yeah.
You know, how right. often have we been told, well, this happened, and it becomes mm-hmm. a family story. And so you're able to retell the story that happened to you before you could remember it happening to you.
Mm-hmm. Revisionist history. Mm-hmm. I mean, the history is written by the winners. I mean, mm-hmm. there's so many phrases I think of when we talk about the subject of memory. And the more and more evidence we get that not a darn one of us remember things the way they really happen.
Right.
Like,
right.
Our brains are pretty reliable, and they're pretty damn impressive when you know, mm-hmm. all things considered. Sometimes I think we're that person who, like my papa used to describe, he was talking about certain groups of people when he said this, and he would say, Jimmy, these people could offer the cure to cancer for a dollar, and there'd be this other group of people that say you're overcharging. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's always going to be that. I think of that a little bit with this subject, that there's always going to be some naysay, there's always going to be some doubt.
Right.
But if there's one consistent thing, it's that about our memory, mm-hmm. that they are not 100%, that they're not completely accurate.
Well, right. And it's been interesting because you have memories of things that kind of are there, but you're not quite sure where. Like, I lived here ages 1 through 5 when my dad was a pastor out in Kellner. And there was always this building that I had in my head growing up, and I could not place it until I moved back here, and it was the ramp on the post office.
Huh.
I knew that ramp, and I can't tell you why I knew that ramp, but that memory stuck with me.
It's interesting, though. There's cool. little things like that, I think, scattered throughout our whole
Absolutely.
Brains. And I don't, more times than not, they're just sitting there unless we do come across that item or that thing or that, you know, subject matter or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how this is going to help people memorize other people's names. I'm not sure if this will do that. I'm not sure it'll help you there in that regard, but... it did make me think about the fun subject of our first words.
Yeah.
And these are always a fun one. And I think what we'll do is, because we tried this once before, and I'll be honest, our audience was a lot more limited.
Mm-hmm.
This was, you know, years and years back when we did this. I want to try this again.
Okay.
And I want the audience to participate. You can call up between now and 8:20. We'll say to the end of the segment.
Okay.
If you want to share your first word with us, keep in mind it's a family show. But yes, you can. And I only say that because I know that most people, their first words are pretty common. Mom,
right.
dad, that kind of thing. My brother and my sister and I could not have been more outliers. Could
okay.
not have been more way out there. My sister's first word was the S word, which I guarantee you, if you bring this up to my mother, she will turn beet red.
Of course.
Because Jillian, we found out Jillian could speak in the most awkward of ways.
Okay.
Like, it was at
yep.
a grocery store, I think,
oh,
or something
no.
like that. And like, my mom dropped her list, and as she's going, bending down to pick it up, she hears somebody say the S word,
uh-huh.
and she's like, oh, no, please, no.
Was that my child?
Yeah.
That
yeah.
can't be. No.
and sure enough, she's mortified while all the other people in the jewel
are laughing.
They're loving it. Yeah,
yep.
they're absolutely
yep.
loving it. They're encouraging her and everything. So Jill's just sitting there in that just big old smile, big,
yep.
huge blue eyes,
yep.
just S, 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 just over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
My poor mom. For me, and as I've mentioned before, I am the fourth James. My dad, his dad, all named right. James. First come to this country, that's all we had was our name, so that's why we cast it on to the first boy named after a James. And growing up, my parents called me Jim or Jimmy. They didn't call me James.
Right.
Same thing they would call my dad or my papa or something like that. So we just moved into this apartment, and I think Addison or Batavia, one or the other, and... not a great apartment, but a little bigger than they were used to. My dad's on one side, my mom's on the other.
Mm-hmm.
And she's screaming for my dad, Jim, 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 and he's not hearing her. And finally, she hears, what? 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 And that's just me and the kid apparently, and I don't remember this, me in the living room playing with blocks or Lincoln Logs or something, and I'm just looking at them going, what? Just like one over and over again. My parents had like at least a 5-10 minutes of pure joy. Their first child is speaking for the first time. It's awesome. It's such a moving, incredible moment. And then there's 10 minutes later.
Yep, where you're still saying what?
Everything is what? Everything. Like, just could not
you're
have
not supposed it. To learn that word until
no.
you're three.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you either of you remember your first words?
I
no,
do not.
I don't. Mm-hmm.
No.
Hey, I guess maybe I worded that poorly. Did your parents tell you what your first word was?
I know they did, and I know it's written down in my baby book, but I have not looked recently. But okay. I can tell you both of my boys' first words.
Oh,
I mean, those are
yeah,
memories.
Yeah.
With Roan, we didn't know that he could talk until we were walking down a hallway, and I think it might have been at one of his doctor's appointments. All of a sudden, he passes somebody that looks at him and smiles, and he goes, "Hi." And Seth and I looked at each other and went, did he just say what? And the next person came, hi. So that was Roan's first word, is he said hi.
Oh, is that great? And fitting. And actually it, kind of fitting for
he,
him. Yeah.
He is a very personable young man. And Anders, and it's still one of his favorite things in the world, was ball. He loves balls.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Nice. Yeah, I think parents are more likely to remember those things than the...
Yeah.
Even if you've been told, because I know my mom told me, and it's probably in my baby book too, but mm-hmm. I don't remember.
No.
I wanted, there's a couple of things that came up out of this article, because I actually got it last week, and I was just hanging on to it for you two, because I thought this would be a fun one for the three of us. when it comes to obviously our parents are telling it. Parents will tell you, more 9 times out of 10, it's mom, it's dad, mm-hmm. it's a very common kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then there are these outliers. But this is the thing. When I do the homework on this, all I'm seeing is outliers, like
right.
more and more than that. And more so if a person had mom or dad as their name, there's no stories of it. There's no memory
right.
of it.
Well, and I wonder if they're thinking of words outside of that, because, you know, the first thing that babies do is they babble. And so mama, dada are going to come out much more quickly than hi or ball or the S word.
Yes.
But those are the first words outside of the babbling, I think, is what maybe what they're looking at, which is why we're seeing all of these different words coming out.
Mm-hmm. I went to a website, parents.com. It actually is a really good site. Mm-hmm. I think it is, at least. I think they got a lot of cool stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a wonderful article, Out of the Mouths of Babes, Funniest First Words. We're just going to touch on a couple of these as we take you to the top of the break here. And again, you can call up 424-2600. You want to share with
Please.
Us your first words? Please feel free to. Momo. That was
Momo?
His version of Elmo. He was trying to say Elmo. That's a good one. I like that. Booby, my child was always hungry. Yes, I have looked it up. You can say that on the air. Yes,
okay,
fair.
All right.
That's fair. The Oscar seems fair. Seems
right,
like a pretty
right,
fair
yeah,
one.
Yeah,
that
okay.
was the dog's name. Mom and dad really got to feel like, oh, that feels like it really hits hard. Like, oh, geez.
And I love the mispronunciation of words. I used to take my boys with me when I would visit in the hospital. And my youngest walking down the hall the one day, and the nurses just got a kick out of this. He goes, Mommy, when can we visit the hospitable again?
Yeah.
The hospitable.
Speaking of that, Beth, this person says the kid was trying to say fire truck.
Oh, no.
But you can imagine what it really sounded like as a little kid was saying it.
Mm.
I think you can interpret that one at home. You don't need me to walk you to water on that one.
I have a sister that ordered caps. instead of ketchup.
Yes.
Yep.
Uh-huh. This may be one of the most interesting ones I've ever heard. Believe it or not, this lady, Melissa, says, believe it or not, my daughter would say all clean when she was 2.5 months old, and she would say it after every diaper change and bath, but she would never say it when I tried to show someone, so nobody believed her.
Right.
It was the frog in the cartoon or whatever. The, hello, my baby. Hello, my darling.
I'm not your performing monkey mom.
A ragtime gal. From the beginning, we would sign and say all gone when done eating. One mm-hmm. day after dinner, all gone just came out.
Wow. Yep.
Oh,
all done.
All gone.
That's good. That's a good
cute.
One.
Yep.
Balloon. I don't know why, but I love a child. The idea of a child's first word being balloon. That is really good. I like that. Ribbit. So maybe, you know. arf. Arf is another one.
Wanted to talk to the dog. Forget the people. Yeah, I want to talk to the dog. Right. Arf, arf.
And they are on the same level, usually.
Yeah,
I mean, there's eye level and everything, a dog and a child.
They're playmates,
baby.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
You want to communicate with the people you're playing with.
You might be onto something. this one, I don't know how to take this one. Sit. If your child's first word is sit.
Oh. Mm. How many times have they heard that?
Yeah, yeah. That's. Now, it's interesting you said that, Beth. For a lot of the research here, a lot of parents, especially young parents or parents that are just soon to be parents, are mm-hmm. reading this article, and they or have read articles like this and are in fear of like saying any words around their children. and the researchers, the people that really know what they're talking about, not me, will say the exact opposite.
Oh, yeah. Talk to them as much as you can.
Talk to them.
Yes.
Let them hear
yep.
conversation. Mm-hmm. This is how they learn the English language. Mm-hmm. This is how mm-hmm. they learn the language in mm-hmm. general. And their brains are sponges, you know, from the moment they're born. So they're
right.
taking all this in. So it isn't... I also think that I would never, never tell another parent what not to do or anything like that. But the research tells us the less you use baby talk, or at least don't use it until like they're really walking upright, let's mm-hmm. say. Until once they stop crawling, it's probably time to stop the baby talk. Because
right.
so much of their dialect and so much of their speech patterns are learned from the early people that they're around.
Mm-hmm.
So you talk like that. It's not to say that your child is going to be a grown man to,
no.
What do we have for lunch today? You know, they're not going to be doing that, but it does, the data adds up.
Yeah.
It does seem to be a...
Talk to them like they're people.
Yeah, yeah.
Expand their vocabulary
Absolutely.
By just talking normal.
Yeah, and while we all want kids to be kids as long as humanly possible, they can comprehend, they can take
Absolutely.
In a lot more than we realize.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, I remember using the word impeccable once with my son when he was 3. And the next thing you know, we hear impeccable, 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 impeccable. He was saying it.
It's a fun word.
It's a fun word to say. So introduce those big, long, fun words to them. Let them practice.
And it's a lot of fun when you use big words like that. And then they ask you, what does that word mean?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Or then they
that
begin to use it in... correctly in a sentence without you really having to explain it. Mm-hmm. It's wow, you've picked up on that.
That
and
is
a lot of it is also can be expanded by reading to children.
Yes.
That is so important to their
yes.
vocabulary.
Absolutely.
I'm really, really glad you said that, Melissa. That is one of those things that I encourage that whenever we can.
Mm-hmm.
We want people to be able to do those things, be a part of those things, certainly. And you know, get out there and do that. Any opportunities you have to read to kids.
Please
I know that
do.
The United Way do have an event every year, Reading Mentors Program, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of schools are looking for people that are interested or can help with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and you don't have to put in funny voices. Just be you.
Yeah.
Kids
yeah.
just want to have the time with you as well, and reading is a great way to do that.
Mm-hmm. We will take a quick commercial break. We'll come back with Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club here at Mornings on WFHR. It's time, all right, for Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club. Treat yourself. Get on over to Misty's. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a good day from all of us at WFHR and get us your birthdays and anniversaries. Send them to info@WFHR.com or james@WFHR.com. You can like our Facebook page, direct message us, you know, right through Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Morse code, smoke signals. You want
to
yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Those are great.
Yeah.
I mean, anything.
Yeah.
You and we'll take them. Any way you want to get them to us, everybody. Taking a look at the list today, we have three possible qualifiers.
Okay.
Beth, I'm going to need you to give me a 1 through 3.
Let's go with 3.
All right. Gives us our qualifier. So we can dive right into the celebrate and wishing a happy birthday to Ryan Nelson.
Happy birthday, Ryan.
Happy birthday, Ryan.
Enjoy your day, Ryan. Also celebrating a birthday, very happy birthday to Sarah Williams.
Happy birthday, Sarah.
Happy birthday.
Sarah, we hope you have a fantastic day. Mm-hmm. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. I know it's a Monday. Enjoy it all week.
Yeah, go absolutely.
On. Go on. And our qualifiers today celebrating their 63rd anniversary.
Yay!
That is impressive. I don't see 63 on the list. I see 60th and 65th. So a diamond is for 60th, and for 65th, a blue sapphire. So,
ooh, so get her a ring
there.
With both of them.
Take your pick.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. Happy 63rd anniversary to our qualifiers, Tom and Joanne Oligny.
Happy anniversary.
Congratulations, Tom and Joanne.
Yeah.
That is beautiful, you guys. 63. That is amazing.
Oh, I would love to hear a story. Email us a story.
Yes, yes, yes. Love that. And congratulations. Happy anniversary, you two.
Yeah.
Taking a look at our celebrity list, Drake is 36.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if this happens with other genres of music, but with hip-hop, artists used to kind of grow out of a certain age where their albums would sell, or they, you know, maybe they lost touch with the modern themes or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a little impressive to me when I see somebody like, I don't know, Snoop, who has been doing this for like 4 decades and still hasn't lost street cred, hasn't these different things. Drake at 36 is a little like a tennis player at 36. He's closer to the end than the beginning,
right,
as far as that prime goes. But you can't tell from his album sales. he does great. He's one of the more popular artists around the world. I can't name 2 of his songs, but I can tell you I know who he is.
Right,
I know
exactly.
And you talk about people who have really taken their status and bounced off into all these different worlds and realms and everything. Like, he's done a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, and I'm guessing he's not rapping or doing songs about arthritis. So that's probably why he's still.
That's what hip hop is missing, though.
There you go. Had
to sign up for Social Security today.
These
kind of things, like subject matters. I want a hip hop song about how difficult Social Security is to figure out.
I'm waiting for those.
Worrying about will I even have Social Security? Any of this stuff.
Yeah.
I love the idea of that. That's great.
Broke
Beth.
My hip. don't fall. Don't slip.
B.D. Wong is 62 today. Fantastic character actor.
Yes.
Baldwin on American Horror Story. Hugo Strange in the Gotham TV show. He was in really well known in the show Oz. Was also on Law and Order SVU and Dr. Henry Wu in the Jurassic Park movies.
Yep.
B.D. Wong is a chameleon, too.
He is.
He is very good at changing his look, his appearance to fit a certain character. He can do all of it, too. Dark, evil, good, happy. He's a good actor.
He's one of those, I know that face, but what do I know that face from?
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorites of all time. I personally think one of the greatest I've seen. Mr. Kevin Kline is 75 today.
Yes.
I don't know if the younger audiences would know Kevin Kline that well. He certainly hasn't done as much in front of the camera in a long time. But whether younger audiences would know him as Professor Fish, or no, no, the landlord in Bob's Burgers.
Okay.
He's so good at Mr. Fish Order is his name. and he's so crazy and weird and wild.
Oh, yeah.
And you hear that Kevin Kline has such a wonderful voice.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why he never did voice acting before, but this is kind of like one of his big steppings into that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of brought him to a whole bunch of younger people, people that didn't know him well. A Fish Called Wanda, I think, is probably his most famous role here in the States.
Wasn't he also in Wild Wild West?
Yes, he was.
Yep.
He was the sidekick.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of his more famous roles is Dave, when he was the American president. Him and Sigourney Weaver were so good together.
Mm-hmm.
In and Out. I wouldn't say ahead of its time because I don't know how well it has aged, but certainly ahead of its time as far as dealing with that subject matter.
Right.
So many of these kind of different roles. And just one of the best I've ever seen. I see that he is filming a TV series called Disclaimer right now, so that's cool to see. But outside of the Bob's Burger stuff, really not has not done a whole lot in a while.
He took a huge break from it.
Yeah.
Because he was one of the go-tos for, like, the 1990s.
And I do believe that some of that had to do with family stuff, mm-hmm. like wanting to, you know, take care of his wife, I mm-hmm. believe, or something like that. But
which is I applaudable. I'm glad that actors do that, even though we miss seeing them. When you know you see a good performer, you want to keep watching them grow and not having that opportunity. But to be able to prioritize, my family's important, and I'm going to take the time to do that.
I'll always think of Rick Moranis right away with that subject. Mm-hmm. People for decades didn't know what the heck happened to Rick Moranis or what was going on and everything. And he lost his wife. He wanted to take care of his kids. Mm-hmm. Job one. Yep. That's always.
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter how big a name you are. Doesn't matter who you are. That's always going to be job number one. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're the president. I don't care if you are a janitor. That's your number one job. And walking away from acting is no different.
Mm-hmm.
The Big Chill is another one he's famous for. Silverado. He's so good in Silverado. The January Man is another good one, too. Soap Dish.
Soap
Dish is the one I forget about and stuff. There's a sneaky, great movie that came out. When did this come out again? Back in 1991. It's called Grand Canyon. It's got one of those eclectic casts. Mm-hmm. Steve Martin, Danny Glover, Kevin Klein, Alfre Woodard. So many great people. And it's kind of like you run into these people at different moments in their life, and it's mm-hmm. kind of spread out and everything. And Kevin Klein's performance in it, it may be his greatest performance.
Yeah.
It may be. It's such a good movie. Such a sneaky good movie. Grand Canyon, again, if anybody's looking for a good sneaky good movie and stuff.
Okay.
Another great, F. Murray Abraham is 83 today. Fantastic, legendary actor. F. Murray Abraham. There is not much that he has not done in his eclectic life. Of course, I think that Mighty Aphrodite, the Grand Budapest Hotel are both well-known.
Yeah,
but really, it's Amadeus. It's Amadeus that he's most well-known for. And understandably so. But he's been in a TV show called Mythic Quest. He's been hilarious in.
Okay.
He is a sneaky, good comedic actor. let's see here. And Santo Farina is 85. The Santo of Santo and Johnny from the classic, one of the greatest instrumentals of all time, Sleepwalk.
Ah.
Richie Valens really made that famous, but there's a couple of different versions of it, too. That's easily one of the greatest instrumentals ever written, the Santo and Johnny Sleepwalk, especially. We want to. It's 7 days till Halloween. 13 days left till daylight savings time. Keep those things in mind, everybody. And if you happen to see Ryan Nelson today, wish him a happy birthday.
Yes, happy birthday, Ryan.
Happy birthday to Sarah Williams.
Happy birthday, mm-hmm. Sarah.
And a happy 63rd anniversary to our qualifiers today, Tom and Joanne Oligny.
Happy anniversary. Yes, enjoy.
Celebrate, you guys. Enjoy and celebrate with our good friends at Misty's Menu. They're open right now till 2, open 6 to 2, 7 days a week, and 9041 Stead Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. Kick back, listen to Melissa's News, and then when you get to Misty's, wish them a good morning from all of us at WFHR.
Put a spell on you. Because you're mine.
I physically cannot talk over Screamin' Jay Hawkins.
No.
I can't do it.
No.
Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Beth, Melissa, and James here with you at 8:40 on the clock. Thanks a lot for hanging out with us, everybody. Hope you're having a great start to your day out there. And we may be able to help you with your day. Maybe help you stop annoying people.
That would be great.
I'm trying to learn. I'm a work in progress when it comes to this. What's something that only annoying people say? Reddit came up with 75 different phrases we hate to hear. If you use any of them consistently, you might want to, you know, change up your dialogue a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe you want to refresh it a little. We are not going to go through, obviously, all 75 of these, but I do have the top 20.
Okay.
So we'll kind of run through these rapid fire a little bit, but some of them maybe we'll spend a little more time with if they need explaining.
Mm-hmm.
And we should just shout out if we do these.
Because I don't mean to be rude, but That's the number one on the list. That's the number one on the list. And dang it if I ain't guilty of that one. Like, I try to catch myself now more and more. Like, but I used to say that all the time. You know, no offense.
There's
but,
the line. That, no that offense. Yeah.
I've ceased to stop doing that, but I still catch myself sometimes doing it. Yeah. Let's agree to disagree. That's one of the safer phrases we have in our society right now. I don't care if people are overusing that.
Right.
Like, I'd rather that than the bark, 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 bark. Just two, you know, grown adults acting like children barking at each other.
It's okay to disagree. Just don't be violent about it.
It's a good thing we don't we don't agree. It goes back to the founding of our country and the forefathers realizing America can't look like a warmongering country any more than it can look like a passive country. Not especially not then, and especially not now. We have a beautiful country that is not run by a king or a dictator or something like that. It is run by the people. Well, we forget that sometimes, and there are some things out there that make us question that. I completely agree with all of that, but at the end of the day, that is the basis of democracy. That is what we have here. And man, do we have a cool kind of thing. Like, when what they had on paper and for it to work, as long as it has, let alone as long as I believe genuinely that it will, I don't see this country going anywhere anytime soon. To me, that's incredibly impressive. And part of the reason is because we agree to disagree.
Right.
I don't know. That's a tough one.
I'm going to play the devil's advocate for just a second, because I think why this phrase could be annoying is if somebody uses it all the time just to shut down a conversation.
Exactly.
As opposed to being able to continue the dialogue, that could be just a, let's just agree to disagree and move on.
That's a, I'm not going to change my mind no matter what you say.
And I'm not going to listen to what you have to say. Where you need to be open to listening to those dissenting, in, you know, opinions. It's okay.
I know what I know. Don't confuse me with the facts.
It was a joke. It was a joke. Number four on the list. It was a joke.
That's a gaslighting,
narcissistic statement. Yep.
Yeah.
I tell, you know, Melissa tells me, you know, how I don't take out the garbage anymore and all this. And I'm getting forgetful or something. And she's really trying to, like, she's really upset that I am not taking the garbage out enough. But she's maybe, you know, like a, you know, confrontation or something like that. And so you use kind of like the nervous laughter or something like that. And that can come up with those. It can also come up in today's society, especially where people really are just trying to tell a joke sometimes, and they don't realize that they're being offensive. Yeah, that's a part of it. But more so, it's such a, I think you hit the word, and I think it's a word that we need to incorporate more and more. I'm not saying like every day, but gaslighting is something I don't think people are familiar with that term as they need to be.
Right, and it's the one who is the victim being made to feel as if they're the perpetrator.
As if it's their fault.
Yes.
More times than not, it's used as somebody did just get done saying something they meant, they believe, and they've been wanting to say or something. But they, it was just a joke because they try to like off play it.
Because it didn't go over well with the audience.
Which makes the whole conversation completely useless. Like, because then that person who is hearing that has no idea if you really, like, do you mean this? Do they don't? Were they kidding? Were they not?
Right.
And the point is completely lost. There you had an opportunity to get something off your chest, to explain something, and you could do it like an adult, or you can do it like a, you know, junior high kid or something. Let's unpack that. Well, everything I just got done saying, you know, let's unpack that. Let's discuss that. Weren't we just doing that? Do you have to say let's unpack that? I mean, I feel like that's what we agreed to do here, have a human conversation.
Right.
That one is a little kind of like, it almost feels, what is it? Like not talking down to somebody, but like
condescending.
Thank you. Condescending.
And questions whether they were actually listening in the first place.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. I didn't think about that, Melissa.
It's a phrase of superiority.
I'd like to speak to the manager. the last couple of times I've heard something like this has been in recent years, and more times than not, you're speaking to the manager. There ain't a whole lot of people working there. You're probably already talking to the manager. Here's the deal. I don't know if I've ever heard somebody say that and anything good came afterwards.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
I'm sure that there probably has been in the law of averages, but I don't think in my life I've ever had somebody. James, here's the deal.
Office space.
Here it comes.
For a moment.
Yes.
I think if you use it often, and that's the thing to remember with these phrases, because I think we've all used some of them now and then. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you do that all the time, re-examine.
Yeah.
This one's tricky, and I'm very guilty of this one. Not so much saying it, but my reaction afterwards. I can keep to myself at times. I certainly can keep a lot inside and trying to get better at those things. But when I'm like that, more times than not, somebody will ask, why are you such a bad mood? Now, I'm not traditionally, I don't know if there's been even, I would say 9 out of 10 times I feel comfortable saying I'm not in a bad mood, but I got a lot in my head and I'm caught up in there. And I'm not being a good friend, or I'm not being a good person just socially and not letting that known more to people. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of just stuck in my own head.
You don't have your people face on.
Yeah, yeah.
There you go.
And then when you get asked that, I don't know about other people, but nothing gets me in a bad mood quicker usually than somebody assuming, or especially if they don't believe you.
Right.
Oh, you know what? I'm cool. I got a lot on my mind right now. It's not you. I apologize. Mm-hmm. And then they keep going, and they don't take you on your word. And that's understandable, too, because 9 times out of 10, how many times you ask even your best friend, how you doing? Fine. How you really doing?
Yeah, but really, how are you? Yeah.
Right. So this is one of those ones I think we got to give each other a little break on.
Well, and
as somebody who is so guilty of overreacting to this when I've been called it, I will say I feel guilty every time that afterwards, in the aftermath of that, like, oh, I got a little bent out of shape there. Didn't need to. Ooh.
Well, and I'm all for the open-ended question, because there is some genuineness there that they want to hear more than just yes or no or fine. But there's better ways to ask questions like that. Not why are you in such a bad mood, but what's going on with you? How are things going? And let them tell you whether or not they're in a bad mood or just thinking about something.
Mm-hmm. Because it's almost like they're projecting a feeling on you. Like I perceive, or I think I know how you're feeling, which, I mean, can you really do that?
Yeah. Live, laugh, love.
Okay.
People are tired of hearing that. Yeah. Calm down. What? That's a funny one. That's funny because nobody in human history has ever calmed down when you tell them to calm down.
Yep.
Like that's the last thing they want to be told. It's the last thing they want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's what we all do.
It's usually a way to escalate something if you want to, you know, it kind of has the opposite effect.
Mm-hmm.
Must be nice.
Oh, I hate that one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I hate that one.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm only saying what everyone's thinking.
No.
Icky.
That's presumptuous.
You know what everybody's thinking?
Yeah, right, that's amazing.
Exactly. Yes.
When did you become God?
This is one that's going to drive my mother crazy because it was one of her favorite phrases growing up. And she was accurate. She was right. But still, everything happens for a reason. Now, that's not a bad phrase, like right now, saying that phrase. Everything happens for a reason. You can interpret it, take it however you want. I think the unfortunate part is the timing of this. Something horrible just happened to you. You're down and out. You're down and all these things. And what is the only encouraging thing one person said, well, everything
somebody
happens,
swoops in.
Yes. And they think, and the person saying it, not everybody by saying this, but in that moment, this person thinks this is going to cure everything. Hey, you cheer up, champ. Cheer up. Everything happens for a reason. Everything. Why aren't you better? Why aren't you all better all of a sudden? I told you everything happens for a reason. This should explain it all.
This is one of those phrases I absolutely hate.
Because
it makes it seem like there's a puppeteer up there making things happen. And I think there are consequences to actions, and we can learn from those. But to claim that it happened for a reason, you know, then the next question is, well, what's the reason? Can you tell me that reason?
Mm-hmm.
Then don't tell me that it happened for a reason.
Mm. Well, and I think it also marginalizes the person's, whatever they're going through in that moment.
Absolutely.
I think it's important to acknowledge, you know what? This is a really rough thing. This right. is a hard moment you're going through. Let's acknowledge that, because part of being able to move past traumatic things that happen to us, or grief, or, you know, any whatever the bad thing is to actually fully acknowledge, hey, this is bad.
Yeah.
This is not good, and I feel a certain way about it, and to be able to feel your feelings.
Right. And bad That's things are going to happen, and then looking at it saying, okay, now what can I learn from this bad thing?
Mm-hmm.
And that's maybe the best way to say it. Well, what can we learn from this?
Mm-hmm. And there comes a point in time after you get past that that you can say, okay, well, what is the reason? Mm-hmm. What good did come from this?
Exactly.
So it has its place, just not right away no. in the moment.
And I don't think I've ever had a close friend who hasn't said this next one. And every one of the people that say this follow it usually like, there's nobody else like me, or all my friends say this about me, or I'm the only person who's like this, even though I know more people than not that are like this. People don't like me because I'm honest. I tell it like it is. Nobody likes it because I tell it like it is. Like, I'm going to tell you. Every person that does that, like, I would love to introduce them to the other 90 people I know that say this. Like, I have no issue with it, but I just, like, as far as calling yourself, like, unique or maybe
I'm the only one.
Yeah, yeah. I that's the part that kind of, like, bugs me a little bit, because it's like, you know, I don't know if I've met a person who isn't like this.
Right.
I know plenty of polite people that also speak their mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's called society.
Some just do it with more tact than others.
Yes, very true. Very true. I think that's more of what the person might be getting at, is that they don't have maybe the tact that other people do.
Yeah.
And so they're just going to let no filter.
What you want to say. It's not that people don't like you because you're honest. People don't like you because of the way that you share your honesty.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. 8:54 on the clock. Beth, Melissa, and James here with you, getting you ready for the 9 o'clock hour, where we will kick things off with the kitchens open, the show inside the show. Beth and Melissa's show about cooking and all things related to food, and that, and we'll get into that in starting the 9 o'clock hour. Looking forward to it. You guys got a great subject today.
We do.
Oh, it's one of my favorites already. I love it. Looking forward to that one. And that'll be coming up along with some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day. I want to touch on a little bit of local entertainment, some local events going on, certainly. And I do want to remind the audience, we have the trick-or-treat times. I figure Wednesday we'll start covering those. Wednesday we'll start getting into them.
Sounds good.
If that sounds good to you guys. I thought that'd be a good place. All right, cool. We can't start talking about, well, is there any holiday that we just let it have its own time anymore?
No.
Because I've got tons of articles on Turkey Day, on Thanksgiving coming up all over the place. And I don't know. I was just thinking about it and stuff. And I don't know the last time we had a holiday where we didn't, like, before the holiday, the month holiday, like Halloween, before that's even come, I've seen Thanksgiving stuff all over the place. I'm seeing these articles on Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. We know how it is with Christmas, where this second, they don't even wait for Thanksgiving anymore.
No.
Like, now it's they're hitting you up with Christmas sales, and Christmas stuff is in the stores.
It's Hallowgivingmas time.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
You know how you avoid that? Don't go to stores.
There you go.
Now, you might need to emotionally prepare yourself for a Thanksgiving chicken this year, or maybe a nice vegetarian nut loaf instead. There is a big Thanksgiving turkey shortage, and they could cost twice as much as they did last year. And here are the main reasons it's happening. Turkey prices crashed in 2019, and a lot of farmers stopped raising so many. Then the pandemic piled onto that, so it's still causing a shortage.
Mm-hmm.
Inflation is making turkeys more expensive. Feed, fuel, and labor all cost more than they did a year ago. Workers are also hard to come by, and drought across the U.S. aren't helping either. And the avian flu is worse than usual. Around 3.6% of America's turkeys have died of this year.
Wow.
And that might not sound high, but it's over 7 million birds.
Yeah.
Oof.
Experts think most people who want a turkey should still be able to get them, but you might have to settle for one that's bigger or smaller than your ideal size. So it might be a good idea to buy your turkey early and make room in your freezer to store it for a few weeks. I'm going to be everybody's mom for a second here.
Okay.
And do what they did. You're not going to finish your meal. You know there are people in third world countries that would starve for that meal, would starve for that, Jimmy. But you know, you're being so darn picky, and there's people over here, like all that and stuff. There's if you can get a turkey, but it's not the right size or whatever or anything. I hope you can get over it, and I hope you can enjoy your family. You enjoy your day.
Right.
Turkey's great. People love turkey. You can celebrate Thanksgiving without turkey. I've done it every year of my life, basically.
That's just because you're picky, James.
Very true. Very true. Guilty as charged.
Well, the other thing is be realistic about how much people are going to eat. How often do we get larger turkeys just so that we have the leftovers for later?
Oh, yeah.
You know, or
and
we...
if you end up with a bigger turkey than you wanted, you can have all those fun leftovers.
Exactly. But I mean,
it freezes very well.
It does. It does. And you don't necessarily have to have the biggest turkey to have the best meal.
Maybe.
Just have more sides.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, maybe I was going to ask if that would be if you guys thought that would be an option.
Absolutely.
But having more sides and stuff.
And explore different sides that you've never used before. Make it an opportunity to try something new.
If you're going to, I think my parents and everybody are going to my sister's house this year in Madison for Halloween or for Thanksgiving. If you have a dish, like Jillian makes she makes really good spaghetti. She makes a couple of meals really, really, really good. Like, if you wanted to do that, maybe. Like, you have that along with the turkey or just have that or something.
Yeah.
It's one Thanksgiving. I mean, first up, you're getting a Thursday off of work, everybody. Like, just take that and just enjoy your family. I don't think this is something to get bent out of shape about. I mean, especially what we've dealt with in the last 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
We've had bigger things to deal with. A turkey shortage sucks. It's not great. There are things that we need to work on when it comes to the subject, but...
You could also go to the whole Charlie Brown Thanksgiving meal.
Uh-huh.
Do that for your dinner instead. Yeah. You know, jelly beans, pretzels, toast. Come on.
My favorite part of it. I don't know why, but every time I watch it, they're buttering the toast. It's my favorite part of it.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back next hour with, of course, the kitchen's open to kick things off. Get into some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day. Do have a handful of things that I want to talk about locally and want to get into our schedule here at the station as well, because tomorrow morning, Melissa and I are going to be joined by a good a special guest. Rock Larson from the Wood County Veterans Services is going to be with us.
Good.
Rock will join us in the 9 o'clock hour to talk about the Veterans Toxic Exposure Symposium that is coming up just in a couple of days, I believe on Wednesday, the 26th, on Wednesday over at McMillan Library. We'll be talking about that with Rock tomorrow morning. Be listening for that. For now, just stick around. We got more coming up right here on, Pam, you can say it better than I can. You do it.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.